Welcome to the Start Empire Wire Founders Podcast, where we make entrepreneurial founders a top priority. Each episode features risk takers, business builders, community shapers, institutional and government supporters in our local startup ecosystem. Tune in weekly to hear all about what's happening with the movers and the shakers of Southern California's Inland Empire and beyond. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Founders Podcast, where we follow and interview the movers and the shakers here in the startup community of the Inland Empire. Today, I am with a great friend, Mike Ortiz of Ortiz Law, and we're going to let Mike start out, tell us what he does, what he's all about. Go ahead, Mike.
Everybody, my name is Michael Ortiz. I am a trust and estates lawyer. I founded Ortiz Law, and I help families, help individuals protect their family and their legacy if they get incapacitated or pass away.
Nice. So Mike and I go pretty far back, man. How many years? Probably know you since—
At least five.
At least five, yeah. So Mike, in the beginning, when we first met, he kind of helped me understand crypto, get into a little bit of that game there. But also, you know, he had a law office at the AppCore Labs office. And so met him there, and, you know, we worked together on some projects. And now Mike is specifically like focusing on the estate planning. But I have a question for you, Mike. Where did you grow up? Like, who are you as a person, bro? Tell us.
Man, you know, it's funny because who I am as a person definitely is impacted by where I grew up. And I would split where I grew up into two places. Initially, until I was in the third grade, I grew up in Santa Ana, California, yeah. Which is a very, you know, it's ghetto. You know, for lack of a term, it's ghetto. There's a lot of very poor people, predominantly Hispanic, with that part of Santa Ana. And then my family moved to Norco, California.
Norco?
When I was in third grade. And that is a very rural. I mean, Norco is, its nickname is Horsetown, USA.
It's famous. I love it.
Famous or infamous from Robin Big. You remember that show, Robin Big?
Yeah. Robin Big, yep.
So their mini horses that they got, they bought them in Norco.
No way.
So in that episode, they're driving and the street, the pavement is like red, white, and blue, like on the street as like line dividers. And that's like 6th Street, Norco.
That's crazy. So, I had no idea, man, but that's freaking awesome. Like, wow.
So from third grade, I grew up in Norco, and I was, you know, the person I am today is molded by my time in Santa Ana, because even though I was really young, I got to see the reality of you know, poverty.
Right.
Like, you know, my family, like, we were lucky that you know, we had a home. My friends are like 4, 5, 6 people in one bedroom apartments. You know, a lot of homelessness, a lot of drugs, crime.
So you were molded by that, kind of helped you to want to pursue your law career. What got you in that direction? And then how did you get the entrepreneurial bug and be like, no, I'm not just going to go work at a firm somewhere? You know what I mean?
So that molded me to kind of understand that, you know, I needed to work to make sure that myself and my family, like, I saw how bad it could get. And it was kind of like fear and slash like protection. I never want to have my family, you know, never want to have that. So there was the fire, that motivation. And ultimately it is why I wanted to do something that used my full potential. And that's why, part of why I became a lawyer. But the entrepreneurship bug I think was always in me, because I was always like, well, I need to figure out how I'm going to make money to make sure that, you know, my family gets better, is better off.
Yeah, yeah.
For future generations, my
child. I mean, couldn't you just go work a job? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So I think part of that is that I have, I'm what some might say is neuroatypical. So I have ADD, you know, a little bit of, maybe a little bit on the spectrum, a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, get super bored.
Yes.
I get super like, I want to feel like I'm doing something that has meaning. So that has to do with like me being bored with stuff.
Yes.
So there's this drive of kind of always being stimulated, being like challenged.
Yeah.
And also wanting to do something because, I'm a philosopher, and I was like, look, if I die when I'm 80 years old or when I'm 90 years old on my deathbed, like I want to be able to look back on my life and have no regrets.
That's good. Yeah. So
that was just, you know, wanting to have purpose.
That long-term kind of purpose-driven outlook on your future.
Yeah. And working for somebody was pretty much, it's like a ceiling on
Okay. So that was out of the cards. You're like, no, I don't want to be limited on my potential. If I'm working for somebody, then I'm always going to be limited.
Yeah. And, you know, there's definitely a place for it because, you know, there's, I don't know if you've heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's like a
plane. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, so the very bottom fundamental. Is like,
yep.
You know, physical needs and shelter needs. So
that's
like,
true.
I think if you're still struggling to get those fundamental needs, like if you're trying to feed
foundation,
yourself,
yeah,
it's foundation, then yeah, like having stable income is probably the better thing.
There we go.
Once you've established that and you start to take on more risk to reach that self-actualization to be the best that you can be, working for somebody, at least in a like a full-time capacity, probably not gonna get you there. You know, everybody's so different, but.
Okay, yeah, now that was the next question. So you think from a philosophical standpoint that some people maybe weren't meant to ever become entrepreneurs, like in regard to self-actualization?
Yeah, I think that, well, part of it is my ADD. Like if I worked in one job doing like the same thing, I would just be so heckin' bored that like, you know, that.
Yeah, yeah.
I would be very unhappy. And so not everybody has that
gotcha.
You know, type of mental setup or,
right.
You know, is not inclined to like constantly seek out stimulation.
Bro, you know? Yeah. No, I absolutely can relate to that as well. I'm a starter. So I love to start new things. And then sometimes like in the past, I've started project actually before I started Starting Pie Wire and locked in the way I have, I started three other like startups just, you know, related to what I was doing with WordPress and stuff like that. But, you know, I just felt like, okay, this is not going to grow quick enough. It doesn't have scalability built into it. So I abandoned them. So I think I get the ADD part a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I have two other startups myself right now.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. Yes.
There's that constant, but also like the way that I see it, and I'm 35, right? So
I've
gone through the 20s, early 20s, that
right
time, you know, so I have a lot more control over my life and
yes.
So like for me, it's about crafting the best life that I can live, that allows me to, I have a young daughter,
yes,
spend time with her,
yes,
it allows me to continue to grow.
Right, right.
It goes back to the search for stimulation. Like, I always want to learn, so it allows me to learn other things, and ultimately I can put them together, the lessons I learned in other avenues. But I also have a nonprofit startup with some other veterans, Marine Corps veterans, called the Veteran Legacy Legal Project, and it's an education workshop nonprofit where we're going to educate veterans on estate planning. I'm going to do the estate planning, a little bit of we're also going to educate them on benefits, VA benefits.
Right.
It's going to be veterans, it's going to be first responders. So that's a startup, very new startup that I have.
That's freaking awesome, bro. So that segues into the next question. You know, your nonprofit is focused on estate planning. Now let's talk about like the actual estate planning that you do. Let's go in depth and talk a little bit about what are the needs that your startup is meeting.
Yeah, so I holistically, the need that I am meeting is I'm eliminating the fear and anxiety, some of the fear and anxiety related to death. Because, and this is really deep.
That's powerful, bro. Really deep. That's powerful.
We're all gonna die. Mm. And, you know, a lot of people are afraid to die. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of that fear of death is based on the fear that if I die, who's going to take care of my mom? Who's going to take care of my wife or husband? Who's going to take care of my, you know, how am I going to make sure that everything that I've worked hard for isn't stolen or squandered? How do I make sure the government is not going to take, you know, part of my house? You know, so, you know, caring for our family and our loved ones,
deep,
I think is part of the anxiety associated with death. Like, if we knew that if we died, like, everybody would be okay, then, like, dude, that's so powerful.
Yeah.
So that's ultimately what I provide my clients with. Now,
I love it, bro. I love it. That's good. Oh, now what else? Yeah.
There's other stuff that I help them with, which is making sure their loved ones don't have to deal with probate court or other like legal issues that are going to cause them stress and anxiety and expense if they die. So I help them avoid probate court. I help them keep their finances private.
Yes. And
I help them eliminate the costs associated with probate court, which is percentage wise, there's a big difference between the cost that you would pay in probate and the cost that a trust would have to take to administer. And in some cases, I help them make sure that they qualify for Medicaid if they need it, help care for mixed or blended families. So, you know, there's the actual like legal pen to paper stuff that has to be done.
Yes. And
so that's the function. But ultimately, when I get a client, my goal is to give them peace of mind.
That's cool. That's really awesome, bro. The Inland Empire startup ecosystem industry is tremendously fragmented. A few top-tier hubs, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego, are well covered by media, events, and data platforms. Finding reliable information relevant to startups or the tech industry in the Inland Empire is extremely difficult. As a result, startups can't scale fast enough. Investors are having a hard time finding the right deals, and corporates can't find the right companies to partner with for their innovation activities. Start Empire Wire, the leading Inland Empire startup publication, is providing the Inland Empire startup ecosystem with the most accurate, engaging business and financial data, events, and news. Our reach of entrepreneurs, C-level executives, angels, VC investors, startup employees, key management at innovative corporates, and big tech is the solution for your B2B or B2C needs. As you build out our platform, we're looking for partners. This is your opportunity to get in on the ground level. If you're looking to align yourself with the local and growing startup and tech ecosystem of the Inland Empire, we have created the platform to get your name noticed and the opportunity for you to grow the recognition of your brand. Contact us today for availability and pricing options. We look forward to our partnership with you. So tell us about how you got, like, you told us about really the purpose of what you're doing and how you're reaching people in the big picture, but tell us about your growth. Like, where did this idea come from? How did you brain mastermind what you're doing now? And then from that, where's the growth, you know, that has happened for you?
Yeah, so I think because I always had the entrepreneurship spirit, you know, I started off like to start off, I had to essentially eliminate the fear and just do it.
Okay.
And it's funny because Chris Hernandez, who you've had on this podcast,
yes,
he was a big inspiration also because he ran AppCore Labs and they had an open office.
Yeah, yeah.
So I rented their office from them. And that was essentially the only thing that was keeping me from starting my own practice was having an office. And I just had to tell myself to just do it. Luckily,
I remember when you first started, bro.
Yeah, man, you were right there too. Cause I met Chris at Techo Tuesday.
Yeah.
Techo Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how we got down back then. And we helped.
Dude.
And
yes.
Yeah, man. So it was, you know, initially it was very like, I need to get a client to pay like my rent this month.
Pay the rent. But yeah. Yeah.
It was very like, you gotta
grind.
Yeah. It was a grind.
Yeah.
And so literally I would be like, okay, this week, what networking events can I go to? Because I knew that if I go to networking events and I meet people and shake hands, me saying that I'm a lawyer, inevitably one person is going to be like, oh, hey, I need this contract reviewed.
Yes.
And so that's like $500, or I need this, or have this case. And then so like, it was always like $250 here, $500 there, but it was from networking.
Like all from network.
In person.
That's freaking awesome, dude.
Oh yeah, so that's how I started.
Yes.
If you want me to go into where I'm at now.
Yeah. Because you went through a little bit of your growth and how you grew through the networking events. If you want to cover more on that aspect, you can. But yeah, tell us about where you're at right now as well.
Well, you know, I'll say that the networking still is fundamentally a huge part of my business.
Yes. Okay.
But you can't really scale that because you can't be at all these places that, you know, spend all this time. And also, I like to think of it as you have to supply the deliverables. Like if somebody hires you, you have to fulfill that deliverable.
Yeah.
So you can't do both networking, you know, and delivery. So I had to start to prioritize and adjust. And then my networking became more specific. Some, you know, I joined some actual networking groups like STARS.
Okay.
STARS and Corona, it's a great group, but now I had 30 other members who were also business owners, and all of their contacts now become my contacts. So you
get
it. And then right now I'm actually, as you know, posting a lot more content on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn.
That's taking off for two, for real.
Yeah. And ultimately, man, like your business is a bunch of systems.
Yes.
So you have to have the systems in place so that you can repeat it. And that whether you get, if you get like, I think the stress test is if you got 20 new clients today, would you be able to service those clients without losing your mind?
Right.
And if the answer is no, I can't, then there's some systems in place that you
gotta put them in place.
Yeah.
And as a service business, have you found ways to ease the burden? Because if you're doing a unique process for everybody, it's not really at that point systematized. But you put your models, business models in place to allow that to scale better?
Yeah, exactly, man. And that's, you hit the nail on the head. Previously, I was doing a lot of different areas of law,
right?
But I decided to focus on a niche.
Yes.
Make riches, right?
I love it.
You know, I focused on drafting trusts and doing probate. So and you will find, I guarantee, whatever industry you're in, there's going to be software that is created for your niche. So
absolutely.
I depend on software. I spend a lot of money on software.
On software.
It has helped me scale so much.
So much. Think maybe you might become a software development company in the future? I'll just mess with you.
The funny thing is that, like, and it goes back to like why tech startups is not just like why the tech industry is not just for tech startups.
Yeah.
Because traditional businesses need to know how to leverage tech.
Come on.
Yeah. I use Ruby Reception for reception. They call Ruby takes the contact info. I use it's like a CRM for lawyers called Clio.
Okay.
I use Clio. I do appointments, email appointment invitation.
Yeah. Wow.
Email service agreement for DocuSign, email invoice, email intake forms. So all of that, that one software probably saves like 5 to 10 hours a month.
Heck yeah, man. Well, I mean, I know the natural outgrowth of service businesses seems to tend to like be software. Like one of the natural outgrowths of service business, usually they tend to be software because you're basically taking a bunch of manual office processes and you're putting them into code and you're automating them, you know, and you're making it virtual. Like, I think if anything can be moved to the cloud, it will be moved to the cloud. I think there's like one of the investors, he wrote an article, I think it was Mark Andreessen, he's a VC over Andreessen Horowitz, or A16Z, I think it's the other name of their company. Anyway, but he was the one who wrote an article called Software is Eating the World. And so it's crazy, because no matter what industry you're in, software is gonna touch you. And if you're in a service industry, sometimes you can roll your services over into a type of software that you create for a large audience of people. And the price goes, whoosh. That's how things like get cheaper over time, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly, man. And you know, the funny thing is that that's where I see my business going as well, because you know, as a lawyer, I'm a sort of high-end client service, high-end professional service. It's really customer service, but you're dealing with more money, more important, like more stuff can go wrong. So, and I think with any industry, you have like the traditional old school ways that things were done.
Yes.
You have like the sort of new efficient, like, you know, adding efficiencies. And so there's an inner, you know, fight between, if somebody's paying me thousands of dollars to do this, like, I want to shake their hand, I want to meet face, I want to do those things. But you have to really, I think you have to look at it from, if you're a customer who's working full time, who's like has kids that are going to soccer practice, has to buy groceries, they kind of, whatever can be more efficient, they want it to be more efficient.
Right.
It needs to be like the heart, like, is still there. So I still meet with clients.
Yes.
You know, hours with clients talking about stuff, but all the stuff that can be more efficient, like, you're only helping your client.
This conversation can
be more efficient.
Yeah, this conversation in my mind, like, it can really go deep, because you think about like universal basic income, and we won't go too deep into it, but what's the reason people have proposed universal basic income? The reason they proposed it is because anything that can be made into a software process will be made into a software process, or roboticized, that which is really hardware and software together. And then nothing anybody, you know, the only thing left for people to do is socialize or build these ethereal, you know, connections, you know, or like write music, some type of art, you know, because everything's automated away. That's where my mind goes. So
yeah,
no. it's a little bit off the path, but that's where my mind goes. Yeah.
No, but it makes sense, because if you automate something and it costs you less to produce it or to provide the service, then you can charge less, right? Mm. And yes. So, I mean, I forget. Oh, I think it was Mark Andreessen was on Joe Rogan, and he was explaining, maybe it was somebody else. So, okay, like 80 years ago, if you wanted like all the intelligence, all the information, all the facts in the world, you had to pay thousands of dollars for encyclopedia sets.
Right, right.
You had to like go to a library and spend hours, and the library had to take up all this space.
Yes.
You had to buy all these books. And now all of that is literally in the palm of your hand.
In the palm of your hand. I think I remember that episode. Man, I wish I could find that one. If you find it, send it to me.
I'll send it to you, yeah. But man. It's like more than exponential. Like what technology does is it, like, yeah, some people are like, I want to have a physical book in my hand, and that's kind of nostalgia.
That is nostalgia, yeah.
That's the exception.
And it's not a necessity anymore.
Exactly. So the cost that it used to take in order to create a library and fund it, like, used to fund them, and, you know, that's why there's libraries named after them, because it was
right.
So expensive. Yes. So, like, because we have cell phones now, the economy, like, people are able to make money off of their phones.
Yes.
Yes. You know, whatever.
Only it opens up new routes of opportunity and economics as well, too.
Yes. So even though, like, the library builders aren't making money, like, the flow of money overall is increasing. So everybody is making more money.
This is a fascinating topic, bro. We got to come back to this on another podcast as well, because this is freaking amazing. If you want to hear more about this, let us know, because we're thinking about doing a leadership roundtable. Yeah. So, but tell us, Mike, okay, you told us about the growth of your startup. Tell us about right now where your startup is with needs, and like, what are you, you know, how are you meeting those needs?
So my startup's biggest needs right now is leads. So marketing and sales, like mostly marketing, but
getting
leads. I have the systems. I have, you know, the labor is myself and my full-time assistant to provide like the capacity of services that I can provide. I need to fill that. So that's why I'm doing. And I haven't paid for like Google AdWords or any paid ads.
That's good, yeah.
So I'm focusing on creating content for Instagram, Facebook,
YouTube,
LinkedIn, and making that system more efficient and more effective. So everywhere from they see the content, what's the call to action? Where does it take them to? Mm. What does the landing page look like? What's the call to action there? How do I get their info? How do they create an appointment? How do they like because what I do is a lot of education. So people who are not educated on estate plans are likely not going to pay for an estate plan. They need to be educated because they need to understand the value. And then I have to figure out the building blocks, and I'm working on them, and I'm using software as much as I can to increase that part of the funnel so that I can fill the capacity of my delivery. And then also there's going to be some post delivery follow up that I need to add, like the nurture type.
Like the lead nurturing processes in the background. We've been seeing your content. Like, I've been seeing your content regularly, and I'm going to tell you, like, it's educational. People need to go subscribe to, what's your channel again?
The law firm Instagram is Mike Ortiz Law.
Mike Ortiz Law. So, and that's where they can get the videos that I'm seeing every day, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you publish
every day? Because I see them almost every day.
I'm still working on being more consistent, but
yeah.
Like, I shot a bunch of clips that we're posting every day, every other day.
That's freaking awesome.
And, you know, just trying to produce more content, which is its own kind of topic and animal, right?
Like, it is, man. Like, we were talking about that before we even got on here today. All right, yeah. So current need leads, and you're building content right now. What are some two short-term goals that you would say you want to have accomplished within the next 2 months?
Okay, so two short-term goals. One is, so I believe in constant education, and yes. I actually signed up for these two courses. It was buy one, get one free. So
yeah.
With the Institute of Business and Finance.
Okay.
And one of them is the estate planning certification, and the other one is a tax certification.
Yes.
So I need to, like, those are, they're structured courses. I need to take tests and stuff.
Yeah.
So I want to finish those, at least one of those in the next 2 months.
Yes.
And then the other short-term goal is I want to create a course slash workshop for people who want to do their own trust.
Bro, that's freaking amazing.
Thanks, man.
I would take that course.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, like, I mean, I would probably pay for the course if I didn't do it myself.
Yeah.
And it goes back to education and the need. Like, there are so many people that need this.
Mm-hmm.
My fee is, you know, when you see the sticker price, about $3,500.
Yeah. Oh, that's, like, great. Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
You're that's actually really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, I need to buy tires for my car. No, I can't. but if you're educated on it and you understand that this is going to save you probably like $10,000,
$15,000,
$20,000 for your spouse or your children if you pass,
right?
Like, that's worth it.
It's
right?
worth it. That is worth it.
So, and, you know, I want to help people and people that are not in my price point. Like, I want them to still be able to help, because maybe this time they go to LegalZoom. But I want them to go to LegalZoom. I want them to know, like, okay, well, I need to make sure I transfer my real estate into the trust. Mm-hmm. I need to make sure I change my bank accounts either to be owned by the trust or so that my trust is a beneficiary of those accounts or life insurance. Or need, you know, just to...
The how-to type of stuff.
They got more time than money. So I'm going to give them... The efficient
training. So you're gonna be so are you gonna be outside of this course creating how-to videos as well for free or no?
Oh yeah, I mean all my free content I'm still gonna be doing.
Okay.
Is gonna be more structured. Because just like anything, everything's on YouTube already, right?
Yeah, so but to
spending
structure.
Time piecing them together.
That takes time. Yes. Yeah.
Like we used to say in the Marine Corps, I'm going to break it down Barney style.
I love it.
And, you know, literally step by step, this is how I would do it.
Yes.
This was the situation. If it was just me by myself, no wife, no kids. If it was just me and my wife, it's just me and my children who are under 18. If it was children from a first marriage and I'm remarried.
Yes.
Like, showing examples, this
freaking
is what
awesome.
I would do. So that they can understand, you know, how to do it themselves.
People would pay for that, bro. Yeah, I know they would. Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to create the content.
Right. All the videos. So you're going to be doing like screen shares, or are you going to sit in front of the camera? Like, how would you think that the layout would be?
So, you know, I've been looking into different platforms and I always try to think of like lowest cost, lowest hanging fruit, and like elite level service.
Elite level. Okay.
So I'm probably going to start off lowest cost, lowest hanging fruit. And
it's
going to be a PowerPoint on Zoom.
Yes. And okay. No, that's perfect.
For that one, that'll probably just be a free one that I provide just to get those reps under my belt, you know?
Well, then, I mean, if you think about it, I think Ty Lopez, when he first did his whole like video thing, I think he was on a like PowerPoint or it probably wasn't Zoom, but it was some screen capture. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
became a billionaire.
Yeah. I do know people do that. You know, someone said they got Grant Cardone's, like, one of his courses, and it was like,
just like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's getting the information out there though. And I mean, it's like having that instructor right there with you, though, you know.
Yeah.
Even if it's low hanging, you know, not like highest video production type stuff, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where I'll start. But ultimately, okay, this kind of goes into like longer term goals.
Yes.
I want to create a type of academy.
Wow.
State planners, and not just
that's freaking awesome
themselves, but I'm like training other lawyers that are trying to transition into estate planning.
So that was actually our next question. What are your 3-year, 5-year, and 10-year goals? Where do you see Ortiz Law in 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years?
Yeah, so obviously I want to still have Ortiz Law.
Okay.
I want to make it more geared towards asset protection, tax planning. I'd like to help more higher net worth clients, because that's where you start to get really complicated.
Yeah.
And your expertise really comes in.
Yes.
So I'd like to have those types of clients and services. I'd like to, you know, increase my staff.
Is this 3 years or 5 years? Which one is this? Because five, 10.
So within 3 years, I want to be certified by the California State Board as an estate planning or trust and estates specialist.
Awesome.
I want to provide estate tax planning, which is high net worth
individuals,
currently 12 million or above. And I want to provide asset protection and more Medicaid planning, which is as people get older, and they are going to want to make sure they qualify for Medicaid. They might have to transfer some of their assets to an irrevocable trust.
Man, so that Medicaid is about to be a mess, isn't it?
I mean, any public benefit is a mess, but Medicaid in California, it's Medi-Cal, but essentially for people older, above a certain age.
Okay.
And it really is necessary for people that as they reach end of life and they need nursing home care or, you know, they get dementia, that's where Medicaid really helps you.
Okay.
Because those costs could be $120K a year plus. Out of pocket. So everything you work for during your life that you want to give to your children is going to be eaten up by about six figures a year.
Oh my goodness.
So it's like the longer you last, the less you're going to give to your children. So helping people plan for that so that they can get some assistance, whatever they'd be eligible for, that's a big part of what I want to do as well.
That's awesome.
And then have the academy.
Is the academy in 10 years or 5 years?
The academy is another 3 year.
That's all 3 years.
This is all 3 years.
Man. What's five years?
5 years. Geez, you know what? Actually, I think in about 5 years, I'd like to sell half of my business.
Yeah.
And take on a partner so that I can I can sort of, you know, get some liquidity from the business that I'm building, and that's why I do a lot of work on making systems.
Yeah,
that if I was like, okay, I'm not going to be a day to day in the office.
Exactly.
I'm gonna be on a partner, or maybe, you know, so that I can use that money to then help with other ventures or diversify. So I think within 5 years, I'd like to sell a major part of my business.
Very cool.
Get some liquidity.
Awesome.
And then
10 years.
Oh wow.
That's a big one.
In 10 years, I'd like to be the top estate planning firm in the Inland Empire.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good long-term plan. So Mike, it's been a great interview, bro. Tell us, where can the people find you?
Yeah, so the best place to get estate planning tips, tricks, knowledge is Instagram. Mike Ortiz Law is the law firm Instagram page. My Instagram page is mike.ortiz.1000. That's my primary source. it gave me the 1000, and I was like, okay.
Oh, so that was generated by Instagram?
Yeah.
I was like, that's awesome. All right, bro. Well, that was good. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the Founders Podcast. We publish these podcasts twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. We're on YouTube and every major podcast platform. So please go download our podcast, give us a review, comment on the video, give us some feedback. Get in touch with Mike. Go follow him at Ortiz Law on Instagram. Or Mike.Ortiz.1000 is for his personal profile. Anything else you want to tell us, Mike?
Anything? I'm big on startups in the Inland Empire, and you know, I just so happen to be a lawyer. So if there's any lawyers that are wanting to start their own law firm, I'm happy to chat with them. I've inspired other lawyers to go out on their own in the past, or even just other entrepreneurs. Veterans, military veterans that, have questions about it. I'm always trying to give back to the startup community and the community in general. So yeah, any questions, shoot them my way. We'll have lunch, have coffee.
Nice. Yeah. All right, guys, get in touch with Mike. Thank you again for tuning in and see you next time. Peace.